Thank you for joining us here at Life Church. It's an honor to share God's word with you today. Our prayer is that you will connect with Jesus Christ as you hear his word online. We'd love to have you visit one of our upcoming gatherings. For more information, visit us online at www.liferva.org or contact our church offices and we'll be happy to help you in any way that we can. Let's go now to one of our recent services where you can experience a life-giving message from God's word.
All right, just a couple weeks ago, I began a short series called Unorthodox, and it's based on the activities of the New Testament church in Acts chapter 5. We all know that what happened in those early days of the book of Acts, it was special, wasn't it? There was a great anointing on the church. There was a great demonstration of the power of God. The New Testament church was unorthodox. Amen. Unorthodox, we know it means contrary or different from what is usual, traditional, or expected. And that is what the church was, very much unorthodox when compared to the church of today. Week number one, we talked about the unorthodox church and how different and powerful they were and how the Lord wants us to follow in their footsteps. Last week, we talked about the choice to obey and how we all have the choice to be like Ananias and Sapphira who disobeyed God or to be like Peter and the rest of the apostles who chose to obey God rather than man. I want to pick up where we left off last week when Peter and some of the apostles had been arrested and brought in before the high council for preaching in the name of Jesus. So let's read that passage again, Acts chapter 5. Verse 26, if you have your Bibles, take them out, find them on your phone, whatever it is, or you can look up at the Bible on the screen. I'm reading from the New Living Translation today. It says this, "The captain went with his temple guards and arrested the apostles, but without violence, for they were afraid that the people would stone them. Then they brought the apostles before the high council where the high priest confronted them. We gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name," he said. "Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death." But Peter and the apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." Amen. And Peter had been confronted for preaching in the name of Jesus. He was told, "You got to cease and desist right now." What was his response? He confidently declared, "We must obey God and not man." Now, let's pick up where we left off in that story. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 33, and we're going to close out this little three-week sermon series. And it says this, verse 33. "When they heard this, the high council was furious and decided to kill them. But one member, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, who was an expert in religious law and respected by all the people, stood up and ordered that the men be sent outside the council chamber for a while. Then he said to his colleagues, 'Men of Israel, take care what you're planning to do to these men. Some time ago, there was that fellow named Theudas, who pretended to be someone great. About 400 others joined him, but he was killed, and all his followers went their various ways. The whole movement came to nothing. After that, at the time of the census, there was another guy named Judas of Galilee. He got people to follow him, but he was killed too, and all of his followers were scattered. So my advice is, leave these men alone. Let them go. If they are planning and doing things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown." But don't miss verse 39. "But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them." Amen. You might even find yourself fighting against God. I love verse 39 from the Good News Translation. It said this, "If it comes from God, you cannot possibly defeat them." Hallelujah. From the NIV it said, but if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. And then from the Contemporary English Version it said this, and I love it. But if God is behind it, you cannot stop it. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I want to preach on this subject today. You cannot stop God's church. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, say, you can't stop the church. Amen. All right. No doubt these were exciting days for the church. Pentecost happened in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit exploded onto the scene. 120 people were filled in the upper room. Thousands of folks were getting saved on a daily basis. Amen. The sick were being healed. Demons were being cast out. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit made its mark upon the people in those days. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, it was unorthodox church. Amen. The Bible says the apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. The people would gather, and they saw many being healed. They would meet. They would listen to the word of God. They would pray. Demon-possessed people would be delivered and set free. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, crowds began to gather from towns around Jerusalem, bringing those who were bound with these physical and spiritual afflictions. And all of them were healed and delivered. Amen. Reminds me of an old song. There was a crowd gathered around from all over town. They came to see what it was all about. Amen. After a while, though, the high priest caught word of all this. And him and all his minions began to be filled with jealousy. They didn't want this sort of religious change. They didn't understand all this power and all this demonstration. They didn't appreciate them preaching in the name of Jesus. They certainly did not like the fact that the apostles had pinned the death of Jesus on that group of leaders. Amen. This new movement was moving beyond their realm of belief. They could not understand all that was going on. And how many of you know a lot of times when people don't understand what's happening, they want to put it in a box. Amen? But after telling the apostles to stop teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus, you also remember another guy named Judas the Galilean. It was during the time of the census, and he led a group of people in a revolt. He got killed also, and what happened to his people? They all scattered, and nothing came about from his movement as well. So he said, here's my advice. You need to leave these guys alone, and let me tell you the reason why. And I love what he said. He said, if what they are doing is just of the flesh, if this is just the work of man, it is going to fizzle out, and it's going to die. Just like Theudas, just like Judas the Galilean, it's going to end up being nothing. And he said, but if this is from God, hallelujah, you're not going to be able to stop it, and you're going to find yourself fighting against God himself. He said, look, guys, if this is not from God, it's going to die. Leave it alone. But if this is from God, you cannot stop it. Hallelujah. You can't stop it. You won't be able to touch it because God's hand is on it. And let me tell you something today, Life Church. It is just as true today as it was back then. You cannot stop the work of God's church. You can't stop what God wants to do in his kingdom. Nobody can stand in the way of the church. Don't listen to the lies that says the church is dying. Don't listen to the lies that says the world doesn't want what Christianity has to offer. I'm going to tell you right now, they've been trying to kill the church for thousands of years. You cannot stop God's church. You can't stop it, amen? In the words of the great theologian M.C. Hammer, you can't touch this. You can't touch this, amen? See, I believe that in these last days, hear me, there's going to be a continued outpouring of revival. There's going to continue to be a great awakening. There's going to continue to be a move of God on our city, on our churches, on our families, amen? I believe our communities can be saved. I believe lives can be changed. I believe entire neighborhoods can be lifted up out of the gutter and brought into the glory of God. I believe that. You know why? You can't stop the work of God's church. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. But that doesn't mean the enemy's not going to try. Amen? With anything good, there's always forces that are in opposition to what God wants to do. Amen. There's people, there's even religious people that they don't want to see the advancement of the kingdom like that. Amen. We don't do church like that. We don't pray like that. We don't act like that. Amen. We don't do that. Amen. Hear me though, folks. Don't mistake opposition to what God is doing for anything other than that. It's just opposition. There's always going to be people that want to stand in the way. There's always going to be people that lack faith. There's always going to be people that don't want to sacrifice. There's always going to be people that want to rebel against what God or what His Word is saying or trying to do in people's lives or even in their own lives. But as Gamaliel said, if it is of God, don't stand in the way, because you can't stop it, amen. Don't be in danger not only of fighting against the church, but against God Himself. And some of you right now, you go, man, why do you talk so much about how great the church is? I'm going to tell you why. Because the church is unlike any other institution in the world. This is not a political organization. This is not a business. This is the body of Christ. That's what the Bible says, amen. We are His hands. We are His feet. We are His mouth to this generation. Amen. That's why you can't stop the work of God. We see God's manifestations around us, and sometimes I think we take it for granted. Amen. Anointed worship, anointed word, preaching, teaching, anointed prayer. I'm glad we can come together once a month on a Wednesday night, and we have a prayer meeting, and we take communion, and we can feel the glory cloud of God just fill this house. If you've never been on a first Wednesday night, you need to come, amen, and experience the power of corporate prayer with the body of Christ. See, folks, when we fight in the trenches together, when we pray together, when we worship together, when we stand together, amen, we cannot be stopped. When we defy a world system that is trying to get us to all hate each other. Come on, the church needs to lead the way. Can the church say amen? When we live in a system that tries to make us define each other by our race or by our gender or by our denominational upbringing, amen, we need to understand the church, God's church, is bigger and better and stronger than that. And sometimes the way you point people to the gospel is not with our words, but with our lifestyle. The way we live, the way we love each other, and the way we stand with each other. Can somebody say amen? See, you can't stop God's church. You can't stop God's church. Just like in Acts chapter 5, you and I are going to face all manner of attacks. We are, including false attacks from enemies of God and even attacks from people who love God, but they're just uninformed. But see, we're still here. Stronger than ever, better postured than ever, more focused than ever, because God's church can't be stopped. Amen. I have learned that you and I, we have to choose what we're going to focus our life on. You got to choose what you're going to focus your energy on. Amen. You can focus on the negatives. You can focus on the losses. You can focus on things that you don't like. Or you can focus on changed lives. You can focus on a brighter future. You can focus on God's glorious, life-changing gospel. Because hear me, you are never going to stop God's church and His mission from going on. Amen. Don't resist and fight against what God is trying to do. Because if it's of man, it will fail. But if it's of God, it will come to pass. And you don't want to be standing in the way. And let me personalize this for just a moment. Don't fight against what God is doing in your life. See, some of us, we've been wrestling with God for a long time. You can't stop God's plan. You can stop it, but you will not live a good life when you do it. You will not live a fulfilled life when you stand in the way of what God's best is for you in your life. Amen. Don't resist and fight against what God is trying to do. Amen. Because it will come to pass. You don't want to be standing in God's way. Here's what I know. The devil can't stop it. Hypocrites can't stop it. The naysayers can't stop it. Amen. God's church can't be stopped. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be in a church that believes that, amen? I'm glad to be in a church that understands that, amen? People want to talk about all that's wrong in Christianity today. I'm going to continue to celebrate and shout about all that is right in it today, amen? Thank God for all he's doing. From Acts chapter 2 until now, the devil has tried, political forces have tried, false religions have tried, non-believers have tried, deadbeat Christians have tried, but you cannot stop God's church. Hear me, folks, the reason though you can't, we got to never lose sight of this, is because we are an extension of who he is. That's why you can't stop the church, because you can't stop him. Amen? Go back into eternity past. You can't find a time when God was not there doing what he said he would do. Fast forward into eternity future. You will not find a time where God is not there doing exactly what he said he was going to do. Look at the present right now, and whether it's good or bad, God is still right there. James 1:17 says he never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Amen. We know God, he's still the same God. He's still omniscient. That's just a word that means God knows everything. He's omnipotent. That means God has all power. He's omnipresent. That means God is everywhere. He's all of those things. He is still God. Psalm 45 and verse 6 says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. Lamentations 5 and 19, you are Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. See, we can praise God that no matter what else happens, he remains on the throne. And God cannot be stopped. Amen? Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. You know, I noticed something that happened in the election. And whether your person that you voted for won or lost, here's what I know. If your candidate won, that doesn't mean the world's going to be saved. If your candidate lost, that doesn't mean the world's going to be doomed. Here's the thing. We got to quit putting our trust in politics, in politicians. Can I just say this? I know you love me and you appreciate me. You can't even put your confidence in me. I'm just a man, amen? But understand that God's church will prevail. God's kingdom will prevail. And we can't allow anything else to become an idol that distracts us from him. Amen? God's church, his kingdom will prevail. His word will never be shaken. You can take every Bible in this building and you can throw it in the parking lot. You can set it on fire. Guess what? You will not kill the word of God. You will not stop the word of God. Satan's been trying to destroy the word of God and the promises of God ever since the Garden of Eden. But you cannot stop God's church. No matter what comes against us, we stand firm in the word of God. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1 and 25, the word of the Lord stands forever. That means God's word will remain forever. That means his promises in your life will remain forever. Man may try to change and manipulate it, but in the end, those efforts are going to all be in vain. God's church can't be stopped because his word cannot be stopped. I want to tell somebody here today, I want to make this personal for you. God gave you a word for your life. I'm just going to read this sentence exactly the way I wrote it because this is, the Lord told me to say it. God gave you a word for your life, for your ministry, for this season, for your family. And it cannot be stopped. Hallelujah. It cannot be stopped. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, from the King James, it says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, what? Shall not prevail against it. In the New Living Translation, it said it this way, all the powers of hell will not conquer it. The New Century Version said, the powers of death will not be able to defeat it. Amen. And I love it from Matthew 16 and verse 18. In the New Life Version, it says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And what? The power of hell will not be able to have power over my church. And you know what the church is? It's not what the church is, it's who the church is. I want you to look around this room. This is the church. This is the body of Christ, amen? And guess what? The power of hell has no authority over you. You cannot be stopped. If you believe that, I want you to give God a praise right now. See, some of y'all, you still ain't convinced. You've been believing the lies of the devil too long. Come on. You cannot stop God's church. You cannot stop God's man. You cannot stop God's woman. You cannot stop the church. His promises are true. They are yea and amen. God gave my wife and I some promises years ago when we first started pastor, 29 years ago. And guess what? Some of them have just started coming to pass in the last week. I'm going to tell you about one of them because it's a promise that God made to this church. I'm going to tell you about it here in just a couple of more weeks. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to keep you waiting. Amen. Hallelujah. See, you can't stop God's church. And what you think sometimes is the delay is just a season of preparation. God gave you a promise, but it's real simple. You ain't ready yet. You got some learning to do. You got some life to do. You got some hurt to deal with. You've got some growing to do. I'm talking about me too. Come on. And sometimes it takes a while to get us to the place where we can see the will of God fulfilled in our lives. See, God's promises. We get afraid because we don't know what's on the other side. Last night, I was able to go to a 50th birthday party for one of the members of our church, and I've known her for probably 25 years, and we went to a 50th birthday party, and we were down at Pocahontas State Park, and it was getting dark, and I'd never been to Pocahontas State Park. It's just a big bunch of woods. There's some cabins, and there's some halls out there. I'm sure there's, but man, it was getting dark, and there was a trail that went down to the hall that they had rented for the birthday celebration. And I'd already gone down there. I got there a little early, went down, looked around. Some great stuff happened. And it was getting dark, and I knew it would be hard for my family members who were still coming to find us. So I said, let me meet you out at the parking lot, the little annex. And so I went out there, and I met Lindsay and Xavier. When they drove in, it was dark outside. And so Mason and Ava got out of the car. And I said, y'all want to walk with me? Yes. And I knew Mason, he's just turned 7, but he's still a little bit afraid of the dark. And there was this gravel trail, it was about as wide as this, and I had to pull my flashlight, my cell phone out and shine the light, and I felt him grab my arm and start clenching. And I knew. He said, Papa, it's dark out here. And I said, that's okay. I've already walked this path. I know where we're going. Yeah. And he looked down and he could see the lights. He said, Papa, that looks like a haunted house down there. I said, that's not a haunted house. You know what's down there? A shrimp boil and cake. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Amen. Yeah, Lord. I already know what's happening. We are going down this path. And you know what he did? He just held on to me. I held Ava's hand. We walked down. And I'm telling you that simple story to tell you this. You know what we do? We look down a path that we can't see the end of. And we get afraid. We know something good is down there, but we can't see it, so we're scared of it. We think the boogeyman's going to jump out of the woods. We think the vision is really something haunting and scary. It's somewhere we haven't been before. But here's what you got to do. You got to trust the hands of the one that is taking you down that path. Because let me tell you something. If the plan that God has for you is the plan that God has for you, it cannot be stopped. It might be hindered. It might be delayed. It might have some obstacles. I can assure you there's going to be some no's and some fall downs, as well as some yeses and some getting back up. But you cannot stop God's people. You cannot stop God's church. You cannot stop God's plan for your life. Somebody give him a praise if you believe that. Come on, you've been praying for God to heal your relationship. Don't stop praying. You've been praying for God to give you a financial blessing. Don't stop praying. You've been praying for God to bring a baby into your life or a husband or a wife into your life. Come on, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Do I really believe that? I absolutely believe that. I believe we got to speak some things by faith. We got to walk in the promises that God gives us, even if it takes 29 years for it to be fulfilled. God's church cannot be stopped. Hallelujah. The powers of hell are no match for the church. Amen. You might be shaken at times. You might be challenged at times. But we cannot be stopped. Because the church is the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. We are the group of people who have proudly stepped out and said, we identify with Jesus. And you cannot and you will not stop us. Amen. Tell your neighbor, you say, you can't be stopped. See, the church is the most unique entity on the earth. Because God's church, his body, has been chosen, called, anointed to proclaim the greatest message ever, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot be stopped. You know why? Here's what the Lord said about us, the body of Christ, 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation. Hallelujah. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are his own special people. Why? So you can proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Peter said you're a chosen generation. Chosen means picked out. Handpicked by God. Divinely appointed for this generation. You say, I was born in the wrong time. No, you weren't. God has you here for exactly this moment. Amen. I was born in the wrong family. No, you weren't. God put you in a family that was going to mold you and shape you in some ways good, some ways not so good, to make you who you are right now. Stop believing all the lies of the enemy. Amen. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I am who I'm supposed to be. And I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Amen. Chosen generation. He said, you're a royal priesthood. You know what royal means? Regal. Kingly. Priesthood implies that we are spiritual leaders. It is ludicrous for the church to cower down and be afraid of anything that the devil dishes up against us. You know why else we can't be stopped? The Bible says we're a holy nation. I think we hear that word holy so much it loses impact in our lives. But what does it really mean? It means sacred, set apart, exalted. It's the opposite of profane. God has exalted and lifted up his church from the rubble, and he's placed us into his kingdom. We can't be stopped because that passage said we are a special people. Amen. Special. You know what it literally means? You are a preserved possession of God. Hallelujah. It signifies that there's ownership of something of great value. Knowing all this, you know how Peter finished it up? He said, all those things, you're all those things, that we may proclaim the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why you can't be stopped. Your purpose is bigger than you are. Your purpose is to let this generation see the light of Christ in your life. And to let them see this is what the called out life looks like. It's not perfect. It's not always easy, but it's blessed. And it's a life of peace, amen? He's given us power over bondage, power over addictions, power over temptation, power over sin, power over trials, power over spirits. God's church can't be stopped, amen? Praise team and musicians, I want you to come on up. The church is a group of people who are called out. We are picked up. We are blood washed. Come on, somebody. We are Holy Ghost filled. Come on, we are fired up. We are not ashamed of who we are. I want you to stand with me right now. Run to them keyboards, Zach. Amen. Folks, it's time for the church to be the church. Amen. Let me tell you what Romans chapter 8, verse 38 said about us from the New Life Version. I love it in this version. You ready? Look at verse 38. For I know that nothing can keep us from the love of God, Look at this. Why don't you read it with me and read it loud, emphatically, like you mean it. You ready? Death cannot, life cannot, angels cannot, leaders cannot, any other power cannot, hard things now or in the future cannot. Woo! Come on. Look at verse 39. The world above or the world below cannot. Any other living thing cannot keep us away from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus, our Lord. You got to stop focusing on the cannots, because they cannot squander the will or plan of God in your life. Whose report will we believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Amen. You can't stop God's church. And here's what I want to remind you. God's church, the body of, not just the universal body of Christ around the world, not just the local church, and we need all that, amen? We need the local body as well. But here's what I want to make. You are the church, personal, you, Y-O-U. Insert your name. You are the church. Rodney Pavey, you are the church. Robin Thompson, you are the church. Tiffany and Josh Lemons, you are the church. So guess what that means? Tiffany and Josh, you cannot be stopped. Jordan, I heard you say it. It's been a rough year. Guess what? You cannot be stopped. Because guess what I've always found out? Every bad year, the next year is always a bounce back. It's a comeback. And God uses it for the glory of God. So you know what we're going to do today? As they begin to sing, I want you to step out from your seat, and I want you to come forward, and I want you to say, you know what, God? I've been listening to the cannots too long. I've been listening to the no you won't too long. I need to be reminded today that I'm part of the church that cannot be stopped. Nobody can stand in the way of it. And God, I want you to know I'm giving you free will and free reign to fulfill your plan in my life. Amen. People are already coming. You guys go ahead. Let's get started singing. Amen. I want you to come down and say, God, I'm ready to do what you've called me to do. I'm ready to be what you've called me to be. Amen. Come on. Whatever you've been praying about, whatever you've been struggling with, say, God, today I'm planting my seed again. I cannot be stopped. I cannot be stopped.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yes, God, touch us tonight.
Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.